Today will be the last in this series of messages, the supremacy of Christ. Notice our sign says, "Let Christ reign supreme" in 2015. I believe if we are going to see God do anything in our midst, we have to see Him, must see Him, reigning supreme in this year and in our life. And I preached to you a few weeks ago about His position. And I said that He has to have a preeminent position. I want to say to you that they were putting Christ, some of them, in a prominent position. He was above all, but He wasn't in a preeminent position. He's not before all. He has to be both in our life. I want to read several verses out of chapter 1, and then I'm going to read some verses out of chapter 2. I want to recap, and then we'll get on into it this morning. I'm glad to be here, aren't you?
Amen.
Glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad that I can say that my redemption is paid for. I can truly say I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. Without Him, I have nothing. Amen?
Amen.
No hope, no help, nothing to look forward to. I'm glad when I laid down last night that it wasn't, "Well, it's Saturday in the morning, Sunday." I'm glad I could lay down last night and think I get to go to the house of God in the morning. Get some fellowship with God's people. Be able to be around the things of God. Without Him, we would have nothing. In chapter 1, I want to read to you verse number 11. Now, he's talking about Christ, and he's saying that we have been given Christ, verse 10, that we could walk worthy. And then he's saying to us in verse 11 that because of Christ, here is what Christ has done for us. Strengthened, we are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen to what Christ has done, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Chapter number 2, I want to read verse 10. For in Him, verse 9 actually, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. May God add blessing, reading of His word. The supremacy of Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the supremacy of Christ as seen in His power. Jesus can handle it all. You're here this morning, and Miss Tammy has testified, difficulty, hard couple of months, but God brought her here. I didn't tell her yesterday. I didn't say nothing on Facebook. I just simply said, "God, fix it so she can be here." I knew what was a coming, and you just had an idea. We all go through junk in this life. Amen. Life is hard on this side. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. Life on this side of eternity is difficult. And for the Christian, it's difficult, even if I can say this, even more so, because Satan knows that he cannot stop us from going to heaven, but he can stop us from telling others about heaven and about Jesus. And so he will attack us in all ways that he has at his disposal. That's why sometimes we don't make it to the house of God because of sickness. Dear family, this morning text me and said, "Preacher, we're not going to be there. three of us are sick, we're under the weather. You say, well, preacher, that's physical. Listen, the Bible teaches us that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. Amen? And I believe he'll use everything that he can to keep us from coming to the house of God and being involved in the things of God so that we can be strengthened by God and to be able to be some good for God in the kingdom of God while we're here. Amen? And so we must let him reign supreme. Jesus. We have looked at the first message that Jesus is all I need. We use Colossians chapter 2, and where it said that there should not be any more vain talking and any more for us to be rooted and established. He said, don't let any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain teaching, vain deceit, and the traditions of men. You don't need anything besides Jesus. If we'd get back to this, and if we would hold on to this, and if we would stand on this, listen, society does need a better economy, but it needs an economy based on the values and the morals that Jesus gave to us. Our country does need a strengthening in the government, but there'll never be a strong government until we get a hold of Jesus Christ. And so we need Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus is all that we need. We looked at the supremacy of Christ first off in his purpose. Jesus paid it all. I'm glad to you that he paid it all. All to him I owe. I owe nothing when I enter into glory. When I stand before God the Father and he says, Samuel, Nathan, Silver, why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I let you enter into these gates? I'm just going to have to say to him, because of Jesus. He paid it all. He gave it. When I shared with you the story, there's been a reservation made for you at the seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The meal's been paid for. The seat's been paid for. All that's needed is your presence at the table. Thank God that Jesus has paid it all. You think about Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a thief. Barabbas was a rebel. He was everything that you and I are in this life. But yet Jesus took his place. I can't help but think if somewhere along the bottom of Calvary, if Barabbas didn't slip by and look up towards that middle cross and say, he's paying my debt. That should have been me. But the people said, let Barabbas go. And now Jesus has died on my cross. I'm glad Jesus has paid it all. Amen. We look at his position. That Jesus is above all things. He's before all things, above all things. We have to let him be first and most important in our life. Amen? Amen. We looked at his peace last week. It's all going to be okay. Christian, if you weren't here last week, you listen to what I'm about to tell you. Jesus has made peace with God, and he offers the peace of God to you and I. If you are here this morning and you're struggling with something, I believe I can tell you with all assurance, if you'll hold on to Jesus, it's all going to be okay. I can't tell you how it's going to pan out. I can't tell you how it's all going to end. But I can tell you if you hold on to him to the end and let him hold on to you, it's all going to be okay. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't be tore up this morning. You may say, preacher, how in the world can you say it's all going to be okay? Because I know who's going to handle it. And that's Jesus. Which gets me to where I am this morning. The power of Jesus Christ. As we come this morning and I read to you these verses, Paul was telling the Colossian church to be thankful. He was praying for the Colossians. He was praying for the Christians that were there. And he said that you have been strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. In verse 13, he said that He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Listen, if you're delivered from the power of something, the one that delivers you is more powerful than the one that had you. Amen? You sit here this morning, you sing, "I'm redeemed." You know why you're redeemed? Sin couldn't hold on to you, because when Jesus got a hold of you, He jerked you from its grasp. There's going to come a day, and when every tombstone out, I'm about to get ahead of myself, when every tombstone out here is going to be knocked over, that where the saints of God are buried, not all of them, but the ones where the saints of God are buried, the grave's going to turn loose. Why? Because the one reaching down is stronger than the one holding on, and death can't hold on to that body no longer. And God's going to call, and they'll be ripped from the grave, and the grave will not, death will not be able to hold them. Why? Because He's got the power to deliver from darkness. Four things this morning I want us to look at. Let me tell you something. Today's the most important of the day of your life up to this point. You know why? It's a new day. As I began to look this morning, I was sitting drinking my coffee on the couch, and I was watching the sun come up, and I began to see how God was painting the day, and you could hear them songbirds a singing, and out there this morning as the sun was a coming up, and God began to burden me, "Today, son's the most important message you've ever preached up to this point." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's today's message. Every day that the sun comes up is the most important day of your life." Why? Because you can let the power of God rest on you, the peace of God come upon you, and give you what you need to get through that day and make an impact for Jesus Christ. So four things I want us to look at. His power is displayed in His creation. His power is displayed in His cross. His power is displayed in His conquest. And then His power is displayed in His coming. We're going to go from chapter 1 to chapter 2. So you hold on while I preach, all right? It's displayed in His in creation. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about everything He creates. We see it first by His ability to create. If you read the scripture in Colossians chapter 1, all things were made by Him and for Him, and by Him all things consist. Everything we have. Listen, Jesus is the creator. Let me share something with you. We give a lot. People want to worship Satan. And people want to worship idol gods. People want to chase after other religions. Let me tell you a little secret this morning, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can create life. All Satan can do is mimic life. All these other religions can do is just be copycat religions and copycat what's going on. But God Almighty is the only one who has the power to create. As I looked at on Wednesday night, we saw that how Jesus was able, when He stepped out into nothing and He said, "Let there be light," He stepped out into a void. He stepped out into formlessness. He stepped out into nothing and He created everything. Why? Because only our God can do that. You say, "Preacher, I see that He created the sun, the moon, the stars. I see that He created the world. He created the oceans and He created all it." Listen, you need to understand something. He stepped out into your void life. He stepped out into your formless life one night or one day, and He spoke existence into you as a Christian, and He brought life to you. Why would we want to chase after? Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
Why would you want to chase after something that can't create anything? The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that every man that is in Him is a new creature, a new creation. All things have become new. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Revelation chapter 21 or 22, "Behold, I make all things new." You know why? He has the power to create. We see His power and His ability to create life. The Bible says in John 11, when He spoke to Lazarus, He said, "Lazarus, come forth. I'm the resurrection and the life." Lazarus was a dead man, but He brought him out. The little widow
she was coming by and that there was a funeral procession, and Jesus walked up and she had no husband, and the only son she had was now dead, and they were going to put that young boy in the grave, and Jesus walked up and touched him and brought life to a dead body. Listen to me this morning. Only our God has the ability to create life. Satan can't create. He just destroys and copycats. But our Savior creates new life in us. Think about where you were without Jesus. Think about where you are now with Jesus. Think about your dead existence before Christ. Think about the life you have now. I mean, listen. We all get down and out, don't we? Amen? We all have difficulties that come our way and we face discouragement. We all face doubt. We all deal with disbelief. We all deal with struggles in this world. I want to tell you something on the worst day of being a Christian is still far greater than the best day of being a non-Christian. Because even when this world is throwing everything at me and the weight of it all is on me, I still have a God in me who wants to give me the strength to keep on keeping on. I want to tell you something this morning. Please don't ever give up. Keep on going for Jesus. I want to say the same to you this morning. In His ability to create, He is the only one that can speak into nothing and create everything. I'd like to have been there, wouldn't you? Dark, voidless, nothing. Hearing the voice of God to break out, let there be light. And then seeing the Holy Ghost, the Holy Father, and the Holy Son walking around a voidless void, and all of a sudden they divide the firmament from the land, begin to speak it all into existence. They keep telling me that they're finding other planets out yonder farther. But have you ever thought about, you know why there's not life past us? Too cold. Too far away from the sun, can't sustain life. No water on those planets, can't sustain life. You know why there's no life in front of us? Too hot. Now I heard that God messed up 9 other times, 10 other times until He got it right with earth. I don't believe anywhere where God ever says, uh-oh. Anybody else ever read it? Anybody ever said where God said, I got to stretch that out. I've messed up right here. Boys, let's go to next. I don't think God ever tried to move it. I mean, listen. When I hang a picture, there might be 5 holes behind one picture till I get it right. I don't think God ever had to put all the other planets out there till He finally found the right place. You know why? I'll get to that in a minute. But He's the only one that can create life. But not only create life, but in His ability to consist. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that by Him all things consist. All things hold together. Do you know why you were able to get here this morning? Because there's just enough God in your situation to hold it from being swung all to pieces and to keep you from being here. You know why you're able to say, I'm glad I'm saved? Because there's just enough God, that's a preach right there, woman, in your life to get you to where you can come here and thank God for what's going on. He has the ability not only to put it all together, but thank God to hold it all together. And it's up to you and I to let Him do His mighty work. Amen. By Him all things consist. You know, I shared with you the story of the protein in our bodies called laminin. It's a protein that holds every one of our cells together. And when you look at it under a microscope, it's in the form of a cross. Hallelujah unto God. The cross is what gives us life. The cross is what sustains our life. And it's Jesus Christ that is the one who is able to give us and sustain us and keep us in all the struggles. You think about those boys that were on that stormy boat. I forget what one day this week me and Jess and Grace were talking, and we got to talking about something, and Grace, she said, it makes me think about when Jesus was out there on the water and He began to calm the storms. He can calm the storms, can't you, Mama and Daddy? I'm glad that as long as He's in the boat, we'll never go. I'm amazed at nature. You think about there's a force right now called gravity that is spinning. Our world is spinning so fast, but yet a force we don't see, but we all feel, and thank God I'm thankful for it. Amen? It's keeping us from being slung out into the abyss, because God holds us all together. I'm glad. Listen, there's some things that I can see. There's been times, you listen to what I was saying. Maybe this will help some of you, because this is coming straight from the Lord right now. There's some scenes in my suit that you can see, and they help hold it together. But there's some scenes that you can't see, that if you didn't have them, you'd be falling all apart. I'm glad there's some things that I can see in my life, and I can see the mighty hand of God working, and I'm glad that He's working, and I'm thankful for what He's doing, because I see it, and I'm saying to myself, that's God. It has to be God. I'm glad there's some things I can't see that keeps me keeping on. Amen. The Spirit of God, I don't get to talk with Him. I don't get to be with Him face to face. See Him and His ability to create, because He can create. It shows His power and His ability to consist, to hold it together. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. We see it in His ability to create, His ability to consist, and in His ability to complete us. He's everything you need right now this morning, Christian. Are you with me? You hearing what I'm trying to say to you? When He created in Genesis at the end of every day, what did God say?
That's good. That's good.
When He got to the end of the first day, He didn't say, well, boys, in the morning, we got to come back and redo this. Have you ever worked in a job and you get to the end of the day and you said, doggone tired, you wore out, you were so wore out you can't even think about what needs to be done, really. And so, you look back over and you say, I got to come fix that. Guess what? God didn't do that. Let me tell you something this morning, Christian. When Jesus Christ saved you and He filled you with the Holy Ghost, He gave you everything you need. Amen. He has given you the Spirit of God in you. He's given you the Word of God for you. And the Word and the Spirit work together to complete you. Everything we need, we find in Him. And ye are complete in Him. Why? When He creates, He does it right. You with me?
Amen.
We see His power displayed in His creation. I want to see, we see His power displayed in His conquest. When Jesus Christ walked on the soil of this earth, do you know there was never sadness that He didn't turn to joy? Sickness that He didn't turn to hell? Everyone that was brought to Him, John said that the world itself could not hold the account of what Jesus did while He was here. Satan entered into the garden. You listen to what I'm saying. He entered into the garden. He wanted to destroy everything God wanted to do. He brought sin, and with sin He brought death. He brought destruction. He brought division. All of that when Satan came down and deceived mankind, and sin entered in. But when Christ came, He began to conquer what Satan was doing. And you say, well, preacher, where's Jesus now? Christ in you is the hope of all glory.
Amen.
Colossians 10. The hope of glory is Christ in me. So this morning, you listen to me. In His conquest, He conquered the suffering of this world. You think about it this morning. Those little lepers come to Him, 10 of them. What did He do? Go show yourself to the priest. And as they started to walk away, they looked down, they were whole again. One of them come back. I'd hope to think I could be that one. Amen?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be the other nine who wouldn't at least say thank you. Has He done something for you today? Has He done something for you this week that you just need to say thank you, Lord? There's a song I listened to yesterday, for making the sun to shine for me, and I can't even remember all, I just want to thank you, Lord, is the chorus of it. If you just get to thinking about it today, you were able to get here by car. You didn't have to hire a taxi. You didn't have to bum somebody to come pick you up. You walked out, turned the key in an ignition, and God brought you here. Now, you may not have come in a Maserati. You may not have come in a Denali. You may have come in a Subaru Wrap. But you, I don't know how you got here, but you got here because God enabled you to have the ability to get here. Amen. Just thank Him for what He's done. But He conquered all suffering. When the sick came, listen, the blind began to see, deaf began to hear, the mute began to speak. If you read Mark chapter 10, oh, blind Bartimaeus, the first thing he saw when his eyesight came to him was Jesus. I'm glad the first thing I saw when the light was shining in my life was a cross on Calvary with Jesus that had died on it. There was a tomb that was empty, and there was a Christ at the right hand of the Father. I'm glad I saw Him. Amen. He made it. He conquered the suffering of this world. Yes. You know, now listen. He wants to conquer the suffering in your life. This too shall pass. Peter tells us that when the end of all this comes, it's not going to last forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort will comfort us in all tribulation. John 14, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. You're here this morning, you're suffering. Maybe there's family problems. Maybe there's a husband and a wife and you're at odds with one another. Maybe there's children that have broken your heart. Maybe there's other family that's breaking you. Maybe there's just, maybe you're just on the inside, you're suffering. Hey, listen, I want to say something this morning that I don't preach a lot about, but it's true. Maybe you're suffering and you just can't put your finger on it. Maybe there's something going on the inside, you can't explain it. That's just not joy. That's just not contentment. It just seems like that it's dark, not light. There's no help for you. And you can't put your faith. Let Jesus Christ through His power conquer that suffering in your life and run to Jesus this morning. Maybe He showed His power through His conquest. He conquered the suffering of this world. He conquered the separation in this world. I'm glad there's coming a day we're all going to be together. Amen? Amen. We're not going to have to part and go this way or that way. We're all going to be together. He conquered in His conquest separation. There shall be no separation. We're all going to be there. I'm going to hurry because I want to get done. He conquered Satan. At his weakest physically, Satan came to him in the wilderness after he'd fasted for 40 days. He came to him, and guess what God did? God gave him the strength through the Scripture to fight Satan. Satan thought that he was going to win, had him locked into the tomb, had the seal of Pilate or put on it, and guess what happened? An angel rolled the stone away. Where's Jesus? He's no longer there. Why? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He conquered Satan. Can I say that on His death on the cross, there was a testator that died for the testament and that He has conquered sin. Sin no longer has to rule in your life. You have the ability to put it down. How? Number three, He has shown His ability or His power in His cross. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He took everything that was against you. Miss Belinda, you said that you make a mistake. Let me tell you something. Here's the glorious power of God. He's like, listen, don't anybody belittle or think that I'm being disrespectful. But it's just like when we mess up and we put a spot on our garment through the mighty power of God's forgiveness through His mercy and by His love. It's like He takes a great big magic eraser called the blood of Jesus Christ and He washes it away. And just like Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. He takes those mistakes and He's blotted it out. Listen, you and I were bound for hell. The Bible said in John 3:17 that God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world that the world through Him might be saved. Listen, sin has already condemned you and I. I'm not here when I name a sin, it's not me condemning you. Listen, sin has already condemned us all to death, and that is the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And so how can those be fixed? It's by the fact that the only one who had the ability to fix them blotted them out and called that debt paid. And so He blotted it out. The Bible says, taking it out of the way. Bertha Smith said, and God's posted an old fishing sign so Satan can't go fishing around and drag it back up. Hallelujah. Through his cross, he's flung it out. He has took it out of the way. And then the scripture says, nailing it to his cross, he's beat it out of the way. Jesus Christ took our beating, our scourge, so that we could go free. Many men died on the cross, but none of them set anybody free. Many men died after that glorious Black Friday, but none of them set men free. Why? The power of his cross has brought peace between us and God. The power of his cross has taken away my debt. Christian, this morning, when was the last time you thanked him for it? Last and then I'm done. This is number 4. His power is displayed in his coming. The Bible tells us in verse 15 of chapter 2, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in Memphis, Grace, Abby, come with me. Ashley, Ty, come with me. Seriously, come with me. Every child in here scared to death. Preacher ain't gonna get nobody. Go back there to them double doors. Hun, you and Tristan get back there in line with me. I ain't being mean when I say this, but two of the meanest looking fellas we got in here is Trent Sudworth and Brett Bunce. You boys come here. I want you to get behind these young ones. In Roman times, never done. Christian, if you're struggling this morning, I want you to listen to me. Bellings, I want you to make a line back here behind these double doors, and we're going to come down this way. In Roman times, when rebels would come against Roman Empire, and they would come to an outlying village. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
They would come to an outlying village and they would start killing settlers. They'd start tearing up peace that the Romans wanted. Then the Roman Empire would send a general. And that general would go to that outlying village. And when those rebels would come, that general would take the Roman army and he would thwart that enemy. And when he was done, he would most of the time, if it was at all in his power, he would keep the leader. You with me? And then he would bring them back to that village and he would have a triumphal parade. And in that parade, he would have himself on a white horse. Revelation, he's coming on a white horse. He would have his army back behind him. That army would be riding on white horses. Why? Because of the victory. Amen. The Bible says he's going to be on a white horse. We'll be with you. Can you hear me if I go back here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I'm going to play Jesus. Are you really with me?
Yeah.
Are you really in tune to the Spirit?
Yes. Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. This is going to happen, what I'm showing you, according to the Scripture. Amen.
Amen.
That general, come on. I doubt he's got the bed. Come on. That general will bring that defeated army. You look at the back of this parade. And he would say, this is who you're afraid of. This is what you're... Do you ever need to doubt my power? Do you ever need to doubt that Rome is the greatest kingdom and the greatest empire that's ever been? That's who you're afraid of. And look what the power of Rome has done. You listen to me now, Carmel Baptist Church. It's coming today when Warrior King Jesus is going to be on a white horse and he's going to come down Main Street. And behind him is going to be Satan. Behind him is going to be the Antichrist. Bound up is going to be hell. And he's going to say, why should you ever doubt the power of a risen Christ? I have defeated and now I'm displaying every foe you've got.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say to you this morning, young and gents, could go sit down, fellas. I appreciate you. Every one of you here this morning, guaranteed, fighting hell. Guaranteed, Satan and the third of the stars, the demons that he dropped down with him, you're fighting. They may even be using people you love to come against you. They may be using things you love to come against you. And you may be here this morning. And you may be thinking, I'm just going to throw up the white flag of surrender. I want to tell you something. You may not strengthened you.